Hallelujah. He is here tonight again. He is here tonight again. I say he is here tonight again. How many are we? He asked for three. Three. The greater number that he asked was three. Two or three gathered in his name, he is in the midst of them. Here we are more than three. How much more is he going to be here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Please. I have a little question here before I read what I have here to read for all of us. If you had something to give to a group of people, let's say you have your money that you want to invest in a certain corporation, and you happen to see that the corporation have people that are reckless and they don't follow their leader, would you invest your money in there? Hallelujah. Our God knows better. You can sit. Have your seat. And please give me 5 minutes to say what I want to say, because I'm full of joy. I cannot contain it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. You shall be established." Anybody want to be established? Anybody wants a life established? Listen, believe his prophet. So you prosper. Would you like to prosper tonight? Two things to do. Believe God. Believe his prophets. Tonight you receive the word. Believe God. Believe the word that comes from his prophet. You will be established. God is not going to look at the man. He's going to look at your obedience. That's the corporation with people that are not reckless. They follow the leader. God is going to deposit it intentionally on him, and all of us will be blessed. Amen? I want to seize this opportunity to say thank you to Bishop, even though if he is not here. Even though he is not here, I want to thank him for allowing Africans to have a service where they worship as they worship home. This is a man with a vision, and this is a man with a great faith. This is a man that inspires anybody who comes close to him. I cannot stand here and talk enough about him. We just in awe, and we bless him and his wife. I thank Brother Roy Grant for not being afraid of taking over. It's heavy. It's strong. I don't know if he... If I were in his place, I don't know if you would see me here. I would have run away. Yeah. Yeah. Myself, only me. When I come with aim request, I don't know. Jessica in the house? Yeah, I always bother this lady, and I don't know what to say. I don't know everything, so every time I run to her. He made his office so small just to scare people away. We're coming with all the requests. We're coming with all the want and the needs of not only him. I don't know about voices. It's a lot. So, if you don't believe God, you can't believe him. But if you believe God, believe him. Amen. Thank you, Brother Roy. Thank you very much. Brother Thomas, untiring, never tired. You can ask him at midnight, can you help him tomorrow? He will be ready tomorrow. Brother Glenn, I can't call all the names. You guys have helped this ministry, and if we stand here singing and talking English and Franco-English, it's because of your prayers and all that you have put in there. Calvary Gospel Church, I love you dearly. I thank you for everything you do for God and for Him. You have made us with your prayers and your example. I want to thank you, and I want to thank you with all my heart. May God bless you intensely and abundantly. Now, what did we have this weekend? I can tell you myself what I had. Friday, it's like a clap of awakening. And he slapped me a little bit, and I woke up. Saturday, my sleep went all away. Away from me. And today, this morning, what I have, I don't know if you had it, but I had a lot. At 1 p.m. at AIM. Is anybody here from AIM? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God is good. God is good. Allow me to be emotional. I don't know why He can't with us. I don't know why He can't with me. I know myself. I know I cannot even remember the things that I did yesterday. He can't with me. Thank God when He counts on you and you count on Him, you become a team and everything goes well. We are on a journey. We're stumbling, we're falling, but we are going somewhere. And tonight, I want you to welcome Brother Kahozi again. While you're welcoming him, please open up your heart. Open up your mind. Open up all of you and receive. It's worth it. God bless you.
Merci beaucoup, merci beaucoup. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord Jesus. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the honor. He's worthy of all of this and more. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's truly an honor and a privilege again to be here. And by ourselves, the best we can do is just that Franco-English. But the Lord is doing the rest. And we thank God for the privilege of standing before His people again. And the honor of being invited. Thank you, Pastor Roy. Thank you, Pastor Claude. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. Today we're going to go into, tonight, we're going to 2 Kings chapter 13. And if I will give a title to this message, I will say, give it another strike. Just give it another strike. Just eat it again. Hallelujah. And I believe God has something for us here today, and it has been confirmed in a few things that have been said already. And I'm glad when the Lord confirms certain things. 2 Kings 13, we're going to read from 14 to 19. And I bring greetings again from my pastor back in Montreal, Pastor Paul Graham. He's really a great man of God. And I honor my wife, my family, and all the team that came with us from Montreal. And also greetings from Brother Anscombe and Brother Chevis, who are leaders in multicultural ministry in United Pentecostal Church. 2 Kings 13:14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, verse 15, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I'll ask Pastor Roy to pray again before the preaching of the word. Hallelujah. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Can we say it again in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto him. Hallelujah. Lord, we glorify your name today. We magnify your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, the portion of scripture we just read, it's talking about Elisha, the prophet of God, who was at the end of his life. Now we see this man sick and in his bed. Now, the Bible says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. So he died because of his sickness. Now, if you read through his life, he did many miracles. He did while he was living, he did 13 miracles. And after he was dead and consumed, his bones actually performed the 14th miracle. He was a powerful man of God. I don't know. In my past, before I understand really what God, who God is and how he operates, I found it hard to see that a man of God of that caliber will die because of sickness. Why didn't he just pray for himself, lay his hand on him and be healed and continue the work? We will sometimes wonder, you know. But, you know, even if you serve God, sometimes you'll get sick. Even you devoted all your life to God, sometimes you get sick and he won't heal you. You will need to go to the hospital. And this man of God died because he was sick. So when God doesn't heal you, it doesn't mean, well, you're not in order or something like that. It just means he's God and he decide whatever you want to do. And sometimes we have to move from faith to trust. And I mentioned that at 1 o'clock. You know, faith is good when everything works. You know, when God answers, faith is enough. When God provides, faith is enough. But sometimes God will say, I'm not giving you that. Now you have to go behind faith to follow him. You have to go in the level of trust. You know, even if he doesn't heal me, I'll still trust him. Even if he doesn't provide for him, for me, I will still trust him. I trust my life in God's hand. And Joash was the king of Israel at that time. And he came down to the prophet because at that time Israel was oppressed by the Syrian. It's very interesting because you don't quite see it when you start reading from verse 14. But if you read a little bit before that, from verse 10 to verse 13, you will find out that Joash was not a good king. He was an evil king. He led the people in the way of idolatry. And anyway, in Israel, there was never a good king. They were all bad king after king. But even that bad king, even that evil king, when he was in trouble, he knew that he had to run to God. He knew that he had to go to the man of God. And thank God for the man of God, because I don't know about you, but my reaction when I read that, I was like, well, what do you expect now, Joash? You didn't do the will of God. You didn't walk in the ways of God. Why now are you coming? You know, but he did get a favorable answer from the prophet. I will be tempted to say, you know what? Go consult Baal and he will fight your fight. In my flesh, I will say, you know what? I didn't see you in church last week. I didn't see you in church the week before. Why don't you become a little bit faithful? Then we will address your case. You know, sometimes I do that, but not our God. I'm here to tell somebody, no matter what the mess you're in, if you just decide to turn to God, he's there waiting for you. It's your decision. It's your call. You can do it now. You can do it before the end of the service, but it doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter what you did, but there comes a time where you know that this, I'm in trouble and I have only God can fix me. And if you turn to him, he will not disappoint you. This evil king, he got a favorable answer from the prophet. He went and he wept. Somehow he knew that only there I'll find a good answer. He went and wept and he said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrow. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. Now, here is the king. The king, you know, the king, most of the time, the king is a symbol of the kingdom. The king is represents strength. The king represents youth, and the king represents energy. But the prophet was sick. The prophet was old. The prophet was weak. But I don't know if you will see the picture. I need a king. I need a king. I need to find a king. He looks like a king back there. Can you help me a little bit, King? King Mark, right? Yes, that King Mark. He looks like a king, you know. He's tall and handsome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take an arrow. He took an arrow. And he has the arrow. And take a bow. He took a bow. And then the prophet say, point toward the window. He point toward the window. But the prophet is weak. The prophet is old. The prophet is sick. I need a prophet. Now I'm in trouble. Pastor, you look like a prophet. No. The prophet is making a way to the king. You know, there is a powerful picture here. And the prophet said, the Bible said the prophet put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window and shoot. You know, probably the prophet didn't have the strength to pull that bow. He didn't have the strength to aim and to shoot. His hand was trembling. His hand was weak. His hand didn't have the energy that he had once. But let me tell you this. The prophet was full of wisdom. The prophet knew the direction. We need the strength of the young people in church. We need the energy of the kings and of the youth. But that is not enough on itself. We will always need the hand of the prophet over the energy of the young people. We will always need, hallelujah, the direction of that trembling hand. He may be trembling, but he knows exactly where to aim. He may be weak, but he knows exactly where to point. You know, there's a time, I mean, this is a time when we have to learn to combine these two together. Maybe pastor doesn't know how to get on Instagram or Facebook. Maybe he doesn't know how to operate this new technology. But let me tell you, he has the wisdom from the word. I never want to get to the place where I feel like I don't need the covering or the hand of my pastor over me, over my head. I don't want to do nothing without the permission and the approval of my pastor. I don't want to go nowhere without my pastor approving of it. You know, let me tell you this. When Brother Claude called me and he said, "We want you in Madison," I said, "I'm going to run to my pastor." I said, "Pastor, they want me in Madison. What do you say? I go or I don't go?" If he say, "I don't go," you won't see my face here. But if he say, "Go," I'm there. I mean, I may be wise, I may be learned, I may be schooled, but I need the trembling hand of the prophet in my life. I need the covering of the prophet in my life. Young generation, we might be strong. We might be enthusiastic. We might have the energy. We might know the technology and all this. But oh boy, if there is a time where we need the covering of the old man in our life, it's now. I don't want to aim without the hand of my pastor over me. I don't even want to try it. I don't even want to try it. I heard of a man of God once mightily used by God. And, you know, and I look at him, and one day he was telling me this story. He said he had a calling. They called him to go to Europe. He bought his ticket. He boarded the plane. And when he was in the plane, I mean, this is an old man who has his own church. He's a pastor. But his pastor called him and said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Europe." He said, "No, I don't want you to go." He got off the airplane. He got off the airplane. Oh, Lord, we need that today. Oh, Lord, we need that today. I mean, sometimes we pass beside some... Oh, thank you. I don't want to... you know, the prophet is almost falling down now. Yeah, you know... I don't want to move an inch without the approval of my pastor. I don't want to feel like I can do it myself. I want to be that just kind, that, you know, ignorant kind of servant who they tell you jump. They tell you run, you run. They tell you go left, you go left. They tell you go right. Because so far I've read the Bible and I found that God used only submitted people. Hallelujah. He doesn't use talented people. He uses submitted people. Sometimes, you know, even in my walk with God, I have to confess this one to you. But, you know, don't tell anybody. Amen. You know, when you start walking with God at the beginning, you know, you consider where God took you from, and he put you under the leadership of your pastor. And it's God who chooses your pastor, you know. Pastor, it's like parents. You don't choose them, but God chooses for you. And God always chooses the best for you. You know, in the natural, we have parents. In the spiritual, we do as well. And in both cases, it's God who chooses. Amen. And you know, and you start doing stuff. You start doing things, and things are going, and the church is growing, and you start feeling good, and you start feeling enthusiastic a little bit about yourself, and you start feeling like you're somebody. And then, you know, then all of a sudden they tell you here, oh, can we do this? Oh, yeah, sure, we can do. Can we do that here? Oh, yes. And then something hits you in the back of your head and say, hey, what you doing? Say, pastor, you know, from time to time, I need to go back to my pastor in his office and fall on his knees and say, pastor, don't you just let me go like that. If you let me loose, I'll get loose. I'll get lost. If you let me loose, I'll get lost. Please don't forget me. Get your hand on me. If I'm going south, you know, don't be afraid to smack me on the head. I just need to be saved. You know, it's good to do all these things, but I just need to be saved. The bottom line is we need to get to heaven. We need to get to heaven. Now, let's go back to Elijah. And he put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrian in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Did he say it? Did he say he's going to smite the Syrian? Yes, he said it. Did he say he's going to consume them? Yes, he said it, but it was not done yet. That was the will of God for him. Now he has to submit himself to the will of God. And then he said to the king, take the arrow. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and he stayed. The king went one, two, and three. And he felt satisfied. And he stopped. And the prophet get mad. The prophet get upset. So why did you stop? For a long time, I have to confess to you, I used to be puzzled by that. Why did he get so upset? He just told the guy, smite the ground. The guy could have smite just once and stop. Why he got upset? Why? He got upset because the king stopped. And I came to the understanding that the king knew. The king knew. Because if that was the case, he would have just smite once and stop. But he did it once, twice, and three times. But this man of God told him to smite the ground, and that was continuous time. Just keep on smiting till I tell you to stop. Keep on doing it till I tell you to stop. And let me tell somebody here today, you just need to keep on doing it till God said it's enough. Hallelujah. You don't stop till you see the result. You don't stop till you see things change. You don't stop till God says it's time to stop. Keep on smiting. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on giving. Keep on reaching out. Keep on doing it. Oh, we've been doing this for 20 years. Hey, you know what? We're going to do it again one more time. We're going to do it again one more time. You've been trying to quit smoking. Maybe this is the 20th time you're trying. Keep on trying again. Quit again tomorrow. Quit again the next day. You've been trying to quit drug. Quit again tomorrow. I was talking to somebody. I asked him, oh, did you finally quit smoking? He said, yes. I said, oh, how long? He said, well, I quit yesterday. Hallelujah. I said, praise God. You quit again. You're going to quit again. You're going to quit again till you're going to eventually quit. But just don't stop quitting. Hallelujah. If it's the praying, you're going to pray again. You're going to pray again. You're going to pray again till you see it happen. But just don't stop doing it. These things work. It's work. But we just got to keep at it every day. Once again, and once again. You know, the most common reason of failure is quitting. The most common reason of failure in this world today is quitting. But I got news for you. With God, you fail only when you quit. As long as you don't quit, it's not a failure. God doesn't count it as a failure. Hallelujah. Stand up and walk again. Hallelujah. Go out and reach out again. Go out and teach again. Take that Bible study chart and teach it again. And teach it again. And teach it again. And teach it again. Don't you quit till you see your son come back to God. Don't you quit till you see your parents come back to God. Don't you quit. We're talking about eternal life. And let me ask a question. If you quit, then what you gonna do? What you gonna do? There is no reason of quitting. My English, I missed a word there. But there is no point of quitting. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. You know, we have people today, it's so common to see. We believe easily in the negative. But the positive, we need a proof. But if it's a negative, we don't need a proof. It's right there in your Bible. They told the king, Josias, I believe, you're going to die. He said, whoa, Lord, why me? I did this, I did that. And then the Lord told the prophet, go back and tell him he's going to live. The same prophet came back, you're going to live. So give me the proof. But I told you, not even 5 minutes ago, you're going to die and you believe it. But now I told you you're going to live. You need a proof. You know, people doubt they believe and they believe they doubt. People doubt they believe and they believe they doubt. I choose to believe that my family going to live for God all the way to the end. I choose to believe that my uncle going to be saved. I choose to believe, hallelujah, that my brothers and my sister will know the truth and they will live in the full truth. I choose to believe that the backslider with which I started when I started this work will come back to God. Hallelujah. Somebody need to stand and say, I choose to believe that my children are going to come. Hallelujah. I'm going to strike that arrow again. I choose to believe, hallelujah, that, hallelujah, my Lord will save my husband. He will save my wife. He will save my parents. You know, I choose to believe. I choose to believe that, hallelujah, my children will come back to God. Hallelujah. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. I'm going to strike just one more time. You know, the man of God was rough with him and said, thou shalt have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. You know, just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, and it will yield result. I'll give you a few testimony here. We came to Montreal. Actually, I've been living in Montreal for 27 years now. I went there as a refugee, looking for a better life. And I always said it. I was looking a better life, but God gave me eternal life when I was there. You know. And when he brought me and my wife into the church, we came at the same time through the way of sin. We were doing bad thing, and God got a hold of us just to save time. There we are in church. After 2 years, my pastor called me to oversee the French work. At that time, it was only about 40, 45 a soul. And well, we didn't know nothing. I was born and raised Catholic. Yeah, and so when I came to Pentecost, I mean, I knew nothing. So everything I do and say, it's your fault. You told me that. You told me that if I believe in God, it's going to happen. So don't try to stop me believing now. Hallelujah. You told me that. It's your fault. Anyway, now we start taking care of that French church, and soon enough there was a split, and it was just bad, and we were accused of causing all that, and whoa, boy, it was very hard. But you know what? We said, Pastor said, we're going to do it. We stay there and trying to preach, trying to help people grow in the Lord while you are growing yourself. It was a challenge. And after 3 years of struggling up and down, the Lord put in our heart to translate the Exploring God's Word Bible study. We translate that into French and we start using that. And we'll go from house to house, offer Bible study. When we meet somebody, are you interested in a free Bible study? It's free. I'll come to your house. You don't have to pay me nothing. And I'll teach you Monday, Tuesday, whatever day you want. I'll be there. And then people will say yes. But at the beginning, you go, knock at the door. Nobody's there. But you had an appointment. You look at the window. You see the curtain moving. So you say, there is somebody in there. But you ring the bell. Nobody open. Say, oh, well, maybe it was just the wind. And you go home. And, you know, after a while, certain people start accepting the Bible study. But at the beginning, Pastor, it was tough. I was not getting the good people. You know, the good, decent, smart people, nothing. Only people with problem. What I mean, people who were, they were not apt intellectually. And I would teach Bible study and I would be like, wow, where am I going to go with that? And I mean, it was just that after that, after that, after that. And at one point you're like, driving back home from a Bible study, and you, Lord, what did I do wrong? Or what am I not doing right? You know, I'll tell that story. I tell it everywhere I go. I was giving a Bible study to this guy. He's giant and beefy. We were in a Tim Horton, and he came, and we were sitting down, and we started the Bible study, and he asked me a question. He said, Pastor, I have a question for you. I said, yes, go ahead. And he said, is that okay to kiss a lady? I said, no, it's not okay. You're not married to her. Why are you going to kiss her? And then he said, I thought it was okay if I just, you know, touch lips. And he said that I thought it was sin if I put my tongue in her mouth. I was like, Lord, help me. What... I taught the Bible study. And at one point, he wanted to get baptized. And I was excited, you know. It was the beginning. Baptism was very rare. You will baptize maybe 3 or 4 for the whole year. That was a tough time. And he came to get baptized. I get in the changing room. He got in the other changing room. I went in the baptistry. I was in there waiting for him, all excited. I'm going to baptize somebody. And he came out of the baptistry. He had a shower cap over his head. He put on a shower cap, and I was like, now there was a theology start going on in my mind. What if the egg doesn't get wet? Is it really saved or not? You know. So you used to, but then after God start giving me those good ones, after God start giving me those smart ones, those who stay in the church and grow and serve God, you know what? Keep on striking, keep on striking. It's not maybe, hallelujah, it's not maybe going to heal the result the first time, but I'm going to give it the second time. I'm going to give it the third time. I'm going to give it the fourth time, the fifth time. Today from 40, we have over 450 in the church every Sunday, but you have to keep on striking. You have to keep on striking. Don't quit witnessing. Don't quit outreaching. Don't quit going out in the street and inviting them to church. Hallelujah. Go and do it. Do it again and again. If you are faithful with those ones at the beginning, God will give you the good ones after. It's always work like that. So keep on striking. No matter what it is, keep on striking. Keep on doing it. Folks, we are at the brink of a great revival, and I believe it with everything in my soul. If it was not just me, here is the word of God. Hallelujah. The latter rain will be more than the former. I mean, the end time revival will be extra more than the revival we see in the book of Acts. I dream of the day where we're going to baptize 3,000 people in one service. I dream of the day when we're going to have 1,000 receive the Holy Ghost in one service. And we are the generation that's going to see that happening. We just have to keep on striking that arrow. Keep on striking, church. Keep on striking. It doesn't matter. Just do what God said to do, and it's going to eventually work. It works. It works. Hallelujah. It works. And when I teach Bible study, I usually go to their house. And I usually make it as long as possible. I mean, the first lesson, exploring God's word, most of the time it'll take me 4 weeks to go to the first lesson. I want to bring them to the point where even if they don't believe it, they can't kick me out. Because they are now acquainted to me. I'm going to strike that arrow again. I'm gonna knock at your door again. I'm going to knock at your door again. And you get to the point where you start eating the food, drinking the coffee, and God is good, and you're giving the Bible study. And I'm telling you, when you get to that point, you know that you got that soul. Hallelujah. They're going to get baptized in a few weeks. Keep on striking. Keep on striking. Don't believe. You know, there is so much negativity going on in the world. Every bad news sells so fast, but we are not. We don't pay attention to bad news. What's gonna make the difference? It's what you look at. I choose to look at what God is doing. You know, the devil is working. That is business. But my God is working as well. And that the business I want to be involved in. Hallelujah. You know, now, you may be here and you say, Pastor, all that is good, but I've been struggling with my life. Where do I start? Where is really, what the point where I start? And folks, it's always start with the gospel. The gospel, it means good news. It's always start with the good news. And we have a tremendous, marvelous good news to give to you today. And the good news is, first, Jesus loves you. And let me very clear and very specific here. He loves you personally. It's not a corporate business. He loves you as an individual. No matter what you did. I mean, it's not because you're in a group of people here and everybody kind of look nice. No, no, no. He loves you the way you are. Because I was bad. I was a sinner. But the mercies of God reaches where I was and brought me out. And that's why I'm standing here before you today. But I'm telling you, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's the one who created you. And you belong to him, actually. You belong to him. Now, because he loves you so much, he came and died for you. Not only he died for you, he was buried for you. Not only he was buried for you, but he rose back from the dead for you. Now, you may look at me and say, how does that change my life? That the most powerful things you will ever encounter in human history There is nothing like the gospel. There is nothing like the cross. And every time I preach it, I forgot to mention it, but I'm going to mention it. You know, when I came to church, and I think that's why I had a hard time before, I used to try to preach complicated things. You know, I am from a scientific background. I study aerospace engineering, and I used to really complicate it. And I used to try to demonstrate God through science and all this stuff. They are cool stuff, but the power is in the gospel. And every time I preach, I'm going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Is a power. The gospel is powerful. Now, how that power is activated in you? Christ died for you to identify himself to you. Because he's God. God doesn't die. But if he died, it's so he can identify himself to you. Now, for you to identify yourself to him, you also need to die. And we call it repentance. We're not going to kill you. We're not going to, we're just going to ask you to die in your will. It's called repentance. I was stealing, I was smoking, I was fornicating, but I turn around. I don't steal, I don't fornicate, I don't, I got to make a U-turn. I got to make a U-turn. Now, you may look at me and say, but that is hard. I know that is hard. I tried it and I fell, but I tried it by myself. But if you try with Jesus, you will eventually gonna overcome. You will overcome it. Just keep on trying. Just keep on trying. You will. You will. And then after you make a U-turn, you die to yourself. We have to bury you. That's why we have a pool of water there. We don't have a ball. You know, we have a pool. We're going to bury you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And when we bury you, we make sure you go underwater. And when you come up, all your old person remains in the water. You come up a new creature. If you are baptized in Jesus' name, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, baptism take care of sins. Baptism is not a symbol. It's the actual thing that take away our sins. Some people told me, Pastor, it's just a symbol to show. I say, yeah, well, I agree with that. And I went to school. When I was in school, they say the symbol of addition is a cross. And if they put 2 plus 2 equal, if I write 0, that's what they will give me. Because I didn't respect the symbol. So, yeah, it is a symbol, I agree. But you need to respect the symbol in order to have the proper result of the operation. If you don't respect the symbol, the operation doesn't work. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sin. And if after you got baptized, you can come up here or before if you want. We're going to pray with you and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is your resurrection. Jesus was buried. You're going to be baptized. Jesus resurrected and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that is the power to live a new life. Now, let me try to end this here. It seems so nonsense for you to just come and say, Lord, forgive me. I take the decision to change today. But that's what you need to do. What makes it seem such a nonsense is because it's such a huge deal to get everlasting life. But yet, there's no cost to that for you. And so you look at that, you say, it doesn't make any sense. But let me tell you this, it makes the whole sense in the whole world. Because he paid the price. But he's giving it to you for free. Let me give a last illustration here. Do you have buffets here, like Chinese buffet, American buffet, where you can go and all you can eat for the same price? We love those places. I mean, whoa, hallelujah. I got some good friends here. Hallelujah. You know, I may say this, you know, I'm coming from Canada. It's a rich country. And because Canada is a rich country, I have a lot of money. That is just an example, okay? It's not fact. That is just an illustration. Say, I'm going to pay the buffet for everybody here. And it's going to be free. But let me suggest to you this. We may even use the church buses to get you to the buffet. But if you sit down there and you don't put the food in your mouth, you won't gonna get any benefit of it. The buffet was paid. Yeah. Was it paid? Yes. But for you to take advantage of it, for you to benefit from it, you have to eat. You know, the gospel is being paid for. But for you to take the benefit from it, you just got to obey. You just got to come and receive it. Can we all stand? Hallelujah. There is one story that was told to us in one of our meeting, and I feel just to share that with you. Is this young man, he was very skilled with his hand, and he made himself a small boat, and he marked his name under the boat, and he went to play with it on the river. But the water was a little bit strong, and he carried the boat away, tried to reach out to his boat, couldn't get it, but lost it, went back home, and very sad, lost his boat. They were living in the country, and one day him and his father, they went down to the city to do some shopping, and there he sees in the window of one store his boat. He ran into the store and went to see the manager or the owner of the store and said, "That's my boat. I made that boat." The owner said, no, I bought it from fishermen, and that boat belonged to me now. He said, no, it's my boat. I made it. Actually, if you even look underneath it, I carved my name into it. And sure enough, he looked underneath the boat. There was the name of the young man. And he said, "Can I have it?" And the owner of the store said, "No. I pay a price to get it from the fisherman. That boat belonged to me. And if you want to have it now, here is the price." And the young man get out of the store, ran back home, broke his piggy bank, and take all his changes, and went to see that man. Put the changes on the table. They counted everything. Count was right. Said, "Now you can have it." Then he took his boat, holding it very close to him and very happy. And he said, "You belong to me. You belong to me. When I made you, you were mine. But you were lost. And I pay the price now. You belong to me twice." And that's what Jesus did for you. You know, when he made you, you belong to him. But you went astray. You got lost in all this chaos. But he still came and paid a price for you. So really, you belong to him twice. And today he's calling you to come and reunite with him. Because you belong to him. Can we close our eyes for a moment and just pray? Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father. It's not only you made us, but you also pay a high price for us to be reconciled with you. We have sinned against you and you alone. and you are always right in your judgment, Lord. But here we are coming back to you with a heart of repentance. Forgive us today, we pray, Lord, and accept us back, we pray. Lord, hallelujah. We don't want to waste the price that you paid upon the cross for us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel tonight, if we could do it a little bit different, if we could just close our eyes again and bow our head just for a moment. I'm going to ask, I don't know nobody, and I'm not doing this to embarrass anybody, but I just want to see if what I'm feeling is right. Now, every eyes closed and every head bow. If you are here, you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue, can you just raise your hand? I'm the only one looking, and by tomorrow, I'll be gone. So you know, you don't have to be ashamed. 1, 2, 3, 4, four people so far. Thank you. You can put down your hands. Hallelujah. We can open our eyes and hallelujah. Now, I give you that privilege of being anonymous because I just didn't want to want you to feel like I'm forcing you. But if you really want what we've been talking about here, if you want that power for you to keep on going and going, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God coming, dwelling in you, reviving you and guiding you and leading you. If you want it, I'll invite you to come up front first. And if we can, I don't know if we have altar workers that can come at the same time. But if you are wanting the Holy Ghost, I would invite you to come. If you raise your hand, you say, I don't have that experience. But I'm telling you, this is the most marvelous, powerful experience you'll ever have that will transform your life, that will give you, hallelujah, that boost you need to go forth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, you can come. Hallelujah. Yes, you can come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to open now this altar to everybody. Hallelujah. If you don't mind joining us here, and hallelujah. We're going to spend some time in the presence.